Often vulgar, always explicit, and sometimes funny.
Slap box. Slap box.
Welcome to the Slapbox Podcast. This is episode 690. I'm your host, Josh Albrecht, recording once again inside the Slapbox penthouse. My trusty sidekick, Agent Fox Mulder, the three-legged Turkish van cat. He's downstairs, I think. I'm recording this at a bit of an off time. I'm recording on Friday instead of Saturday. Switching it up a little bit, trying to get things done a little. So, because I am working tomorrow on Saturday. And possibly going to the Blues game afterwards. Not going to do any crazy seating. You know, not going to be sitting on the glass or anything if I go. It's, again, not definite. You know, maybe I can find a good deal on some sweet seats, though, since, you know, the record not so great right now. Though their last game was a shutout. Joel Hall of Famer got his third shutout of his career. First one of the season. First, like, good, really good game for him this season, as he's had a rough one. Bennington's been rough, too, especially, you know, the night before that, they played the Capitals, which, you know, they seem to always suck when they play the Capitals. No excuse. I mean, they lost, like, 7-1 or whatever the fuck it was. But, you know, I went to a game last season, too, where they played the Capitals, and it was like the same fucking score. It was just they suck, the Capitals, although they just, the majority of the season have sucked pretty bad. They've only had 5 wins. It's been pretty bad. But, you know, I love going to the games. Even if, you know, they're just slightly above, like, the worst record in the NHL. It's early still, though. It's early, you know. That's just a sign that maybe, hey, they'll win the Cup this year. Because, I mean, of course, we know 2019, when they did win the Stanley Cup for the first and only time so far, they were in last place in January. It's only November. It's early November. They can still, they've got time. They're not in dead last, you know. If it comes down to January and, you know, they're, you know, dead last, there's still a chance. I mean, not a great chance. Let's be real. that was a storybook year for any team. That was, I mean, it couldn't have been written better. It was just a fantastic year. And to be real, you know, as a pretty much a lifelong Blues fan, I was in my 30s by the time they finally won the Cup, well into my 30s. I was pushing 40. I was like 38 when they won the Cup. And honestly, 38, 39, whatever the fuck it was. I can't do math. anyway. I had thought that, you know what? I don't know that they're ever going to fucking win the Cup. There was so many great teams, you know, leading up to that actual Cup win, that there was teams that I thought, like, oh, man, they should at least make it to the Cup Finals. And no, they'd go out in, like, the first round, you know? I mean, there was several times in my lifetime I saw them win, you know, or a couple of times where I saw them win the President's Trophy, you know, so they had the best record in the NHL. And one year in particular I'm thinking of where they did that and they went out the first round. And just, so, you know, got used to just watching them shit the bed. Though, you know, they had, like, the record for most consecutive playoff appearances, where it was, like, close to, like, 30 fucking, I don't know what the record was. They, within recent years, you know, have not made the playoffs every year. But, I mean, it was guaranteed for almost 30 fucking years-ish, which is insane. And then also to never actually win the Cup in that time period, also fucking insane. But yeah, as it is, they've got a couple of teams under them in points right now. Looking at the stats, the shutout they did get against the Sabres, who actually have a worse record now, as opposed to the Blues. I can't say that exactly. Never mind. Looking at it, they've had more overtime losses to where they got a point. So they've got actually like two more points than the Blues. So by hockey standards, the Blues have a worse record. The Calgary Flames are about the only other team underneath the Blues currently. So they got like the second worst record in the NHL. So, but again, they can drop that, make it last. And as long as, it's not February, then, there's still a chance. There's still a chance. But yeah, if I go tomorrow, go to the game, it'll be mezzanine, I would imagine, seats, some nosebleeds. I don't want to spend a fortune on it. But then again, it looks like there a lot of the seats are sold out. I mean, Saturday games generally are anyway. At capacity, because that's when most people can actually go to a game. And I think the weather's supposed to be pretty decent tomorrow. So, that being said, there's still probably, some people that have already bought tickets that are like, I don't know if I feel like going to the game tomorrow. They are playing the Seattle Kraken, which is, one of the many teams that have a better record than the Blues right now, which is pretty much, as I stated, all but the Calgary Flames, which they did beat. Hey, the Blues, I would like to say, are still undefeated in Canada this season. They won both games here in Canada and playing in Buffalo, though not in Canada. It's fairly close to Canada. I mean, just south. I don't know what the mileage is there between Buffalo, New York, and Canada, but I'm pretty sure it's fairly close. I'd have to look at a map to know that for certain. Which I was thrown off at the game. I was like, are they mean Buffalo somewhere in Canada? Because they did play, of course, the Canadian national anthem and the American national anthem before the game. Which I'm not used to that happening unless they're playing in Canada. So I was a little confused. I was like, wait a minute. Pretty sure that's Buffalo, New York. I had to like look it up, make sure. I'm like, that wasn't a complete idiot. And I wasn't. I guess, they've got a lot of Canadian players and they're, close to that Canadian border. So I'm sure they, got to represent. But yeah, that is, that'll be the first game I go to this season if I make it out there. And, I do enjoy going to the game. Hopefully I don't, if I go, I don't buy ridiculous expensive, souvenirs or what have you at the game. They have the new jerseys out. I don't have a new jersey. But I'm aware these things go on sale at times. Should probably buy one on sale. Don't want to go too crazy on buying any of that shit. Maybe I'll buy a puck or something. Unfortunately, I'd like to go to, I like a lot of the theme nights. I'd love to go to Star Wars night again, but it's like a Thursday. And, I work on Fridays. And I don't really have much vacation right now. So, getting off the next day. My job is very physical and I have to get up very early in the morning to go do it. Going to St. Louis the night before seems like a rough, seems a bit rough. But they do have that pretty sweet Grogu bobblehead for Star Wars night this year. So it's tempting. It is very tempting. As of right now though, I don't plan on going. I don't remember when it is. Last year it was last season. I guess it would have been this year. February. It was in February, I want to say. So, But I don't think it's in the general same time each year. I don't remember. I looked it up. Again, yeah, it's a long season. I'm sure I'm going to get to a couple of games. Will I go see one on the glass? You know, it'd be cool. But again, that shit's kind of expensive. I'm hoping for the holiday that work does once like Christmas hits that we get off the overtime, and I'm hoping we get another like week where we shut down the plant, and that, you know, during that period, there is a Blues game at home during the week that I could attend, because those weekdays, that's when you get the good prices on tickets. You know, that's when you can get a real steal on sitting on the glass, going during the week, like on a Tuesday or something, you know, when everybody's going to work. And but it's a bit of a holiday break too, though. I'm sure there's a lot of people that are off work, and you know, that might still be a struggle to get some really good priced glass tickets. And really, I'd just like to, man, do the ringside club again that we did for my birthday, this last birthday I had with Shelly Nabina, and we had our own bathrooms. The ringside club is just, you know, I think the way to go as far as Blues tickets go. But you know, if you can find a good, I think he nabbed them for like a little over 100 a piece. And we weren't on the glass, but we were the next row behind the glass. And then near the end of the game, of course, we had, there were some people that left in front of us, and we ended up sitting on the glass for a little while at the end. So got to be on the glass a little bit. And just you get the ringside club. Again, you can go, you've got this access to this area that only people sitting in those seats have access to, where it's got a buffet set up. You can get drinks down there, and its own bathroom, man. You don't have to fucking wait in line for bathroom. That is, that to me is, that's living the high life when you're going to a fucking Blues game. I would imagine any sporting, a big sporting event like that, a hockey game, what have you, having access to your own fucking bathroom, where just, you know, a very small percentage of people are going to, so there's no line and whatnot. You can just go in, piss, and be right back out, is pretty awesome. Pretty awesome. You know, as you get older, I think even if I was like in my 20s or whatever, back then too, I was drinking a lot more. I would have probably enjoyed having my own bathroom still even then. This alcohol has always made me piss a lot. yeah, that's possibly going to happen tomorrow. We'll see how I feel after work. We'll see what, you know, kind of deals I can find on tickets at that point. And, yeah, maybe I'll just be too tired and just like, you know what, we'll watch the game at home on the projector and that'll be that. But yeah, I think, you know, I think that Shelly is supposed, he was looking at tickets. He didn't say whether or not he was 100% going, but I know I mentioned that I might go, and he said he was checking out tickets, eyeballing them. Don't know if he, pulled the trigger. I know he likes to wait till day of to get deals. So so maybe I'll get to run into him at the game as well. But yeah, we'll see. Other than that, you know, I've been watching. I did watch a few of the Nightmare on Elm Street movies. I talked about, I guess, watching part 3 last week, as you know, it was Halloween. Last week, and yeah, I watched Nightmare 3, Dream Warriors, and then of course I did go back and watch Nightmare 4 this past week. 3 is still so much better. Yeah, I did. It as it turns out, I did remember a good chunk of Part 4 There's some good stuff to 4. It is definitely not as good as Dream Warriors, but I mean, the Kristen, the actress, I do not know her name offhand, that they got to reprise the role of Kristen that was played by Patricia Arquette in Dream Warriors, of course, was not good. She was not great. But the Alice character, who ends up being like the final girl in that in part 4, I thought was, you know, she's still fantastic. And the scene where Freddy comes back in the junkyard there, where Kincaid's dog like pisses fire, still holds up. That shit's pretty epic. I love that. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's classic. I don't know, you know, I still think, you know, the original is my number one choice. Part 3 is probably number 2. It's either number 2 or number 3. Like, that's kind of a fight between New Nightmare, which is the meta, you know, Nightmare on Elm Street, where it's takes place in the real world. It's got Wes Craven and Robert Englund in there. And Heather Langenkamp, of course, playing herself. They're all, like, playing themselves. And also, you know, he's playing Freddy Krueger in there. Freddy Krueger jumps out into the real world and is going after Nancy.
I'm your boyfriend now, Nancy.
Fucking, ugh. So, I mean, I guess I'd put Dream Warriors ahead of that, but New Nightmare is pretty fucking great. I mean, those are the three that, of course, Wes Craven had a direct hand in, and of course he's in New Nightmare, so. And I just like, there's just the darkness factor, which 2 is, I gotta say, 2 is probably pretty high up there too. That's like probably my 4th favorite. It is very dark. His makeup in it is pretty fantastic. Just look very dark Krueger, and there's all the gay storylines going on, which is pretty fantastic. And there's, I mean, some great one-liner. I mean, all of them have some pretty great one-liners. But, like, the one-liner where, well, that's considered quite a one-liner, but you've got the body and I've got the brains. Pretty epic. I mean, that's Krueger, man. Fucking Krueger. And, he does, like, you know, rip open his brains, I think, in that scene. It's been a while since I watched, too. I need to go back. I've got it queued up on Amazon Prime. Don't know when I'll get around to it. But past that, you know, I was watching a good thing to fall asleep to all week, late at night, when I'm getting ready to pass out, putting on the Aileen Wuornos, the serial killer doc on Netflix, the new one of that. I have not gotten very far into it because, like, I keep falling asleep to it. So that has been my nightcap, if you will. Which I just can't not separate her from Charlize Theron nowadays, after, you know, the movie Monster, which is like 20 years old now or whatever. But that's, I haven't had, I don't think I've had any, oh shit, I had something in my throat all of a sudden. I haven't had any weird dreams involving Aileen Wuornos or anything like that. Or involving Freddy, I guess. There's, if I did, I don't remember it. It must have, must have blacked it out, if you will. But yeah, that being said, I did, after, of course, watching Nightmare on Elm Street, I did go back, and because I've been seeing a lot of stuff on YouTube that is now like 50 years, of course, 1975 is when the original film, or the Rocky Horror Picture Show, was released. And I've been seeing, watching a lot of shit on YouTube about the history of it. And, you know, I am a big fan of the Rocky Horror Picture Show. Just just good stuff. The music, the acting. I mean, Tim Curry's fucking amazing in there. Fucking Barry Bostwick as Brad. I mean, come on. That is, you know, apparently Steve Martin had auditioned, I guess, for the role and or was considered. And I love me some Steve Martin. Probably would have made a pretty good Brad, but holy fuck, it's hard to separate, maybe because I've seen, you know, the Rocky Horror Picture Show hundreds of times. it's hard to separate Barry Bostwick from Brad. Susan Sarandon was so fucking hot at that point in time, which apparently Susan Sarandon and Barry Bostwick were seeing each other when they started filming that. And I guess it ended soon after, as they were not enjoying their time filming that. Meatloaf? I mean, come on, Meatloaf? Hot Patootie? There's so good. I watched that. Of course, that came out in 1975. I was born in 81, so it came out 6 years before I was born. But that movie didn't really gain popularity until it had been out like at least a year. So I mean, it was popular by the time I was born, but I saw that shit probably coming out of the womb. I remember that. I mean, it was on TV all the goddamn time. And fuck, that music is just fantastic, man. The Damn It, Janet. There's Creature of the Night. Of course, The Time Warp. Sweet Transvestite. Hot Patootie, you know, with Meatloaf. Music is... I think that, by far, the Rocky Horror Picture Show is the greatest musical ever made. I will stand by that. And it's amazing that, you know, I grew up with that movie, and it's like part of my DNA that I haven't gone full drag before. still haven't today as I'm recording this. The most I've done as far as drag is concerned is wear heels. I talked about it on the podcast. It's been a minute. My friend Ashley... I don't remember exactly what it was when I put it on the first time. We had already started drinking, and I walked around in her heels. I don't remember what exactly brought it on the second time, because I wore heels twice, and it wasn't like all night kind of thing. It was just more of a joke sort of situation. And the second time, I recall, it wasn't too long after the first. The second time, she was like, okay, I need you to wear my heels to break them in a little bit for me. So I walked her in heels for a little while. But I've never gone, you know, I've never really dressed in drag other than wear heels briefly those two times. Which is surprising how much I love Rocky Horror Picture Show. And yet... I've never even gone to a midnight showing, which, I mean, I feel like I should probably do that at some point. I don't know where the nearest place to do that is. I know that there's a famous theater in Munich, where I was recently, that plays it every fucking, at least weekend, if not every night. And they do the full deal where they give you a kit to go along with movie, because of course, you know, you got to light a candle at the one scene where and there's every time they say "Great Scott," you got to throw toilet paper. You know, there's all kinds of audience interaction, which I've never done with that. Never gone to a theater and seen it properly, but it was pretty sweet to watch it on the old projector. And I watched the UK version, which I think is slightly longer. Maybe there's a little bit longer as far as the music is concerned, as opposed to the US version. Not really sure what the difference is, honestly. I was just like, you know what, let's go UK version. And I decided there was an option on the Blu-ray I have to watch the intro in black and white. So I was like, yeah, let's do it. Let's go all out here. Let's go all out. Let's do this. I don't, you know, if I were to partake in the, you know, of, you know, acting out the Rocky Horror Picture Show, I don't know. I mean, I guess maybe I could put, my hair's a bit of an issue. I'd have to wear a wig for most of the characters. I am not as cut, very cut, to really pull off a Rocky, which, holy fuck, that actor's name eludes me at the moment, but he was fucking jacked for making Rocky Horror Picture Show. He's even got the cum gutters, you know? You got the, when you're really cut, and you got those, like in your sides by your abs, where it just looks like, you know, a gutter that cum would just like run down, the cum gutters. That's when you know you got some definition, when you're rocking the cum gutters. And Rocky was definitely doing that. I think my favorite line in the movie comes when, right after, of course, Frankenfurter makes Rocky. And people are, you know, blowing smoke up Frankenfurter's ass, telling how great Rocky is and everything. And then Columbia's like, he's okay. And then, of course, Frankenfurter gets just very upset by this and goes over to Janet to ask her opinion. And then Janet says, I'm not really fond of men that have a lot of muscles, you know. Something along those lines. And, of course, Tim Curry as Frankenfurter replies, well, I didn't make them for you. That is just his delivery of that. And then just like, fuck you, bitch, is so epic. I mean, Tim Curry's performance, of course, throughout the movie is pretty fantastic. And he, you know, we watch him murder fucking Meatloaf, and you still like end up kind of feeling for the character later. I mean, that says something about him. He commits, you know, one of the worst crimes out there is murdering somebody in cold blood. And we're just like, oh, yeah, well, he's, you know, he's Frankenfurter. He's got compassion. He created a being, and he loves that being. And it's, yeah. Quite that reveal, of course, when they're eating part of Eddie is pretty great. When they pull off the when Frankenfurter pulls off the tablecloth and to reveal Eddie's corpse underneath in the casket, which apparently was they did that as a reveal to the cast. Nobody was aware. I'm assuming that, you know, they had their script and knew what their lines were, and that knew that Eddie was a thing, but didn't, they hadn't seen the prop, at least, of Eddie's corpse that had already been cut open a little bit to get the meat. But oh, that movie's just so fantastic. As you know, there's the rapiness in there, where of course he goes into I think he goes into Brad for, or no, I guess he goes into Janet. There's Susan Sarandon, and he's in her room, and then just pretends to be Brad, and she's like, oh Brad, and realize, oh shit, you're not Brad, you're Dr. Frankenfurter. And then just goes along with it, like, all right, fucking it, we're doing it, which is, you know, very sexual assault, rapey-ish. And then, of course, does the same to Brad. I love Brad's reaction better. And then him wearing that, like, kimono after the fact. And how upset Janet is about the whole thing, even though she also fucked Dr. Frankenfurter, you know? It's like, what's the problem here, Janet? You did it too. You were sort of raped as well by Dr. Frankenfurter. But anyway, yeah. But the movie holds up, I would say, overall, in general. And I mean, that music, holy fuck. Richard O'Brien did a hell of a job on making the music for that movie. Of course, he plays Riff Raff in the movie. But If I were to partake in the, you know, acting out Rocky Horror Picture Show, I guess I'd go Riff Raff. Not that I've got a voice anywhere near Richard O'Brien's voice, or anybody in that matter. Of course, though, I could. Oh, if I was going to do a Rocky thing, I probably could do his voice, the actor that played him in the movie, because he did not sing. They had somebody else's voice for the singing part. Everybody else used their voice. Fun fact. But not the actor that played Rocky. They were just concerned on apparently just finding somebody that was super jacked, which, mission accomplished. Yeah, so the whole history of that, though, I mean, there's so much interesting history to the Rocky Horror Picture Show. You know, it started out as a stage show, which got some popularity. It was fairly popular, from what I understand. Then they decided, you know, to make the feature film and put it out and, like, had normal screenings, like your regular matinees and what have you at movie theaters. And I guess it was just a regular crew. They weren't really selling it to the freaks that are out late at night, you know? And my kind of people, they weren't selling it to them. They just selling it to regular people, and no one went to go see it. They were like, what the fuck is this? I'm not seeing this trash. And it took, what, like a year or two for it to actually find a real audience. It wasn't until like the midnight showings started taking, there was like just a very few at first movie theaters that decided that, you know, really saw it for what it was and started doing midnight showings. In the midnight showings, that's when it found its real audience. And, you know, that's when the audience started interacting with the film itself. And, yeah, it was just like, holy shit. The, you know, that, to me, it's just hard to fathom a time that movie ever coming out. And people initially is like, this is awful. Because to me, it's just like just hearing that music. It's just like how could you ever think this is terrible? And but you know, yeah, there was people that initially saw that and were like, "What the fuck?" which might have been my first reaction. I mean, I was pretty young when I saw it initially. I don't really know how young. I know it was a long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away. And in the galaxy of, what is it, transsexual, or is it Transylvania, the galaxy of the, and then there's a planet. Yeah, I don't remember what the breakdown is. What the what region? What are we going with here? Anyway, yeah, there's just so much to love about that movie. And I was surprised to find out that my friend, of course, Jimmy Cro-Magnon, which has been on this podcast, but it's been a long time. It's been a while. I've known him since 2001. And he has seen, you know, some Coen Brother movies. He, of course, has seen The Big Lebowski. I was surprised to find out, and you know, just when you think you fucking know somebody, you know, getting known him for over 20 years, he has not seen Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? I don't know why. I don't know how that happened, that it's even remotely possible that he could go this long and not see Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, which came out 25 years ago. It was 2000 when it came out. I saw that shit in the theater. I wasn't fucking around, you know? It's a great fucking film. And, yeah, I was awfully surprised that he had not seen that. I mean, that movie's a fantastic movie. That is another film. I don't think I've watched any Coen Brothers films on the projector yet since having that. And of course, that is a different, you know, feeling watching that stuff on that projector. I've got The Big Lebowski ready to roll in my Amazon Prime account. I bought a copy of it on there. It was like on sale. I was like, I'm going to watch this at some point on the projector. That one, I feel like I didn't see The Big Lebowski in theaters. The Big Lebowski, I want to say, I feel like I didn't see it until it came out in 98. I may or may not have seen that in the theater initially. That was a weird time for me. I don't think at that point I was going to the movies as much as I would in, say, like 2000. But 2000, I was going to the theater probably like every week. I may or may not have seen Big Lebowski in theaters. I kind of venture to say probably not, but again, I don't know for sure. I had liked other, you know, Coen Brother movies before then. I was well versed in, like, say, Raising Arizona. Thinking what all came out before then that was Coen Brothers. Fargo, I think, had come out before then, which is a fantastic movie. Is that your friend there in the wood chipper? You know, that's which I've seen some of the series, at least like the first two or three seasons of Fargo, which I don't think is really related to the movie at all, but side note, pretty entertaining series. But of course, when I hear Fargo, I think of William H. Macy and, you know, the Coen Brothers with that whole thing. Steve Buscemi, I guess, or Buscemi, or however you pronounce his name, of course, is in that movie as well. And, yeah, I'd seen Miller's Crossing, I guess, was one of the early Coen Brother movies. And there was, yeah, I was versed. So I may or may not, I mean, I was a fan of their films before Big Lebowski came out, which I may, again, may or may not. I'm pretty sure I've seen it in the theater at some point, but the initial release date, I don't know that I watched it. I know O Brother, Where Art Thou, I wasn't fucking around. I saw that shit in the theater. And it was pretty epic. And, you know, I loved just knowing about it before it come out, is that they were doing, of course, what Homer's Odyssey, basically. And then just putting it in that 1920s time period, I guess, is when O Brother, Where Art Thou takes place. And, yeah, I should definitely watch O Brother, Where Art Thou. Apparently, it's on Disney Plus right now, according to IMDb. So I can pull it up via that method and watch it that way. I still haven't seen Tron: Ares, and you know, I gotta say, I will watch it eventually because it's Tron. I love me some Tron, especially the original. I thought the 2010 one with Olivia Wilde was a good one. I fucking hate Jared Leto. I wish they would just stop putting this bastard in fucking movies already. Can't stand the fucker. And I was watching a video the other day on like a rehash on like why Jared Leto is a piece of shit. And I'd forgotten about a lot of the stuff. Well, some of the stuff I did know. But it is amazing that they still keep putting this guy in like major, big budget movies, and pretty much all these movies are tanking and doing horribly. Which apparently he's in the new live action Masters of the Universe, the He-Man Masters of the Universe, where he plays Skeletor, which I guess at least he's going to be covered in a lot of makeup, and you would hopefully not be able to notice it so much that it's that jackass Jared Leto. But, yeah, the stuff that he did when he played the Joker in the Suicide Squad was just kind of fucked up. I mean, he was gifting cast members just weird fucked up shit, like apparently the entire time they were shooting the movie. He would give them used condoms. I presume he used them, which apparently he's had a history with fucking underage girls. So that's, you know, fantastic. Who knows what he was using. I mean, it could have just been solo. Him just, you know what, I'm going to give a Joker gift. I'm going to fucking come in these condoms and give them away. Or did he just like randomly go to some place where you get used condoms? I don't know how he went about that. Apparently he had one of his henchmen, I guess, drop off just a dead pig to the set. Here you go, fellas, just a dead pig, not like roasted, but I would imagine smelling rancid and horrible. That was just dead. It wasn't like, I don't think it was like cleaned, and just, you know, it, again, not like a roasted pig, which would be great, you know. Unless you had like a bunch of people that were like vegetarian and or vegan. I'm sure they would not appreciate a roasted pig. But if it was already roasted, like, here you go. Here's a gift to the crew. That's kind of cool. That's kind of cool. But then like he was, you know, no, he's giving this just dead pig and used condoms. Apparently he gave out like Playboys that had cum on it. On the Playboy, so there were like sticky pages and shit. So it was all about this weird sex shit, mainly, that he's giving people. I forgot what some of the other shit was that he was giving people. Just weird, fucked up shit.
That's how he's getting into character.
And, yeah, I don't think he played a very good Joker anyway. So, I mean, it's Jared Leto. He's not very good at acting. He's a method actor, which usually just method acting that leads to him doing some weird sexual shit. I did watch the Morbius movie. I did not go to the theater. I know that one, like, tanked in the theater. The movie was all right. It was all right. I probably would have enjoyed it more if Jared Leto was not in it. That did, you know, did downgrade it for me. That's for sure. And it was on Disney Plus, I think, or Netflix, one of the two. And it was something that I already paid for. And, you know, I didn't specifically pay to see that movie. So I was like, all right, we'll fucking watch this, whatever. Which is what I'm going to end up doing with Tron Ares. I will fucking watch it. But apparently, you know, Jared Leto, he's, you know, of course, had other just fucked up weird shit. He's been known to sleep with underage girls, like, pretty much, you know, the entire time he's been a public face, that he's been a famous person. He's like, you know, let's do some horrible stuff. And he has his own cult, or has tried to run a cult. Very, very strange. Very strange. Oh my God, damn it. Why does he have to have such a big part? If it was just like a side character, Jeff Bridges is still in, which I love me some Jeff Bridges. I feel, you know, I just can't let Jared Leto ruin Jeff Bridges and Tron for me, you know? It's like, what the fuck, man? What the fuck? This is way too important of a franchise for you to just be ruining it with putting Jared Leto in it. Well, hopefully they learn their lesson. With, you know, this one tanking in the theater. And hopefully people are making it be known that, you know, the reason why I dislike this is because you got that fucker Jared Leto in here. Knock that shit off, assholes. And, you know, maybe they'll do that. I know one movie I might have to go see in the theater here soon, which it comes out in December, I believe. Is The Whole Bloody Affair. They are finally releasing Kill Bill Volume 1 and 2 as a single feature, the way that Tarantino really wanted it to be seen, which apparently he has screened it in his two movie theaters in California there, which would be awesome to go fucking just see it there. It is, you know, like over 4 hours. The cut that he is putting in the theaters, which apparently has extra footage that are not originally in the theatrical versions of Kill Bill 1 and 2. Which, again, yeah, that they have apparently longer animated scenes and what have you in there. And there's, of course, I believe it's the scene when she, Beatrix Kiddo is in Japan. When she's, was it going after the Crazy 88s? That's like in black and white, apparently, in this cut. It's going to be in color. Well, apparently, too, that's the why they shot that in black and white is to kind of get the censors to be okay with it because it was very graphic. A lot of blood. And now you'll get to see the blood in color in all of its glory. So that's pretty exciting. But again, this movie is going to be like 4.5 hours long. Like that is, I'm going to have to take like a fucking monster at the start of this thing to get me over that hump and then some to get through that kind of time in a movie theater. I don't know that. I don't know that it's gonna be possible for me to pull it. You know, like, and I'm basically gonna put in like almost like a full day's of work watching this thing at a movie theater. I'm gonna need to hopefully be off overtime by that point to be able to go see the whole bloody affair. So, hopefully, work slows down a little bit at that point, and I'm able to go see the whole bloody affair in the theater. But, you know, I do have the theater downstairs, basically, with the projector. I mean, I'm definitely going to watch it once they put that cutout on, like, Amazon Prime or what have you, which I'm assuming they will. I'm assuming they will. I don't think it currently is. I don't know that I've got it, Kill Bill Volume 1 and 2 on, of course, my Amazon Prime account. But not, I don't think, yeah, Kill Bill, the whole bloody affair, yeah, I can't get that on Amazon Prime yet. They're gonna do that after they've had, the run here. December 5th is when, they're putting that in the theaters. And, you know, it's been rumored that Tarantino was going to put out, like, basically a Volume 3 of Kill Bill, which is sad to think about that, you know, Michael Madsen's dead now, but, I mean, his character's dead in the movie anyway. But the premise, you know, I heard for that one, of course, Tarantino's only supposed to put out one more movie. That'll be his final film. So, you know, is he really going to want to do a, you know, Volume 3? I'm pretty sure he's already kiboshed that idea. The last time I heard that he was like, had set on an idea, he changed again from that. So I don't know that he's currently, I don't know what the news is currently. He might've released some statements on that. He might be, you know, in pre-production, what have you. But yeah, there was talk of doing the Volume 3 for Kill Bill, and of course having Vivica A. Fox's character, her child, who did, you know, was at home when Beatrix Kiddo came home and killed her mommy. she, of course, you know, would be of age at this point. It's been like 20 years since Kill Bill. And, you know, she wants to come back and get revenge for the bride killing her mother. Which, I do love me some Uma Thurman, and I love, you know, Tarantino. So, I would be on board. And then if they did it, Volume 3, would they then have to have another cut of the whole bloody affair where it'd be all three parts? And then it'd be like an eight hour experience, or, you know, 6 to 7 hours. How many? It's like, that's getting into Star Wars territory. have to, you know, watch stuff. There was a time when anytime a new Star Wars film would come out, I'd go back through and watch like all the Star Wars films. And that started to get a little out of control once after Force Awakens came out. after that one, basically, like, you know, I think I watched them all, like, in the lead up to The Last Jedi, but I was not really a fan of The Last Jedi so much, and I gotta say, I didn't want to watch that movie again afterwards. And then The Rise of Skywalker, I thought, was just dog shit, too. So, definitely now, when I, like, get into the Star Wars kick, I'm not like, ooh, yeah, we got to watch all these. Like, no. No, they're all very long movies. And do I really need to torment myself again by watching The Last Jedi and then Rise of Skywalker again? Like, I've only watched Rise of Skywalker, like, one time, I think, after seeing it in the theater. And I saw it, I think, maybe twice in the movie theater, and definitely one of those times I did fall asleep for good chunks of it. which, man, I think that one, after going back a while ago and watching that, I think that might actually be worse than The Last Jedi. Maybe. There's at least some entertaining parts to The Last Jedi. but there's, you know, I did, you know, get to watch, you know, Andor season one and two are fantastic. And I'm looking forward to seeing Ahsoka season two. I enjoyed the first season of that. I do love me some Mando. And so seeing that, you know, there's going to be a movie, I was next year at some point, with Grogu and the Mandalorian. That's exciting to me. Although the last season of The Mandalorian, the season three, I know they had the writer strike and like the pandemic. There was reasons why shit didn't go well, but it didn't. It was not nearly as good as the first two seasons of The Mandalorian. Let's be real. I feel like hopefully though, you know, the putting it on the big screen will that, you know, they're hopefully. They're putting in, you know, the real effort right now to make a great film. It's been several years now since they've released a Star Wars film into theaters. So they got, you know, a lot of I feel like they got a lot riding on it. So hopefully they, you know, took their time and did it right, you know. But I guess only time will tell. Fear not. What I don't know. I was gonna try to say some Yoda shit, but yeah. I don't know.
Fear leads to anger. Anger leads to fear.
Anyway. Oh, the caffeine. I had a very small Red Bull earlier. Get a little caffeinated, a little jacked up, because I am really fucking tired. Again, I did work today. And it's, you know, it's been a long week already. back to talking about going to the Blues game tomorrow. Yeah, again, I'm not 100% sure on whether or not I'm going to do that. However, next week, I am not working Saturday, although I'm working 10-hour shifts during the week, which sucks. But I will tell, they do have games Friday and Saturday night, I believe both at home next week. So, I feel pretty confident that at least next week, maybe I could go to the Saturday game or something. So I'd like to kind of see them play the Kraken though. I'd like to see the Kraken released, and you know, they've got a very attractive, you know, coach, and Jessica Campbell. I follow her on Instagram, of course. The assistant coach there, the Seattle Kraken. Which, man, I've mentioned this before. I would love it if they had the Women's Hockey League come here and we had like our own team. Which they did have last season. Didn't go to it, but they did have a game at the Enterprise Center. I don't remember which teams. There's only like six teams in the women's hockey league. I would love to have something like that, or just like a minor league team here to be able to go see like live hockey. Because you know, I'm all for that. I mean, there might be some minor league teams that I'm not familiar with somewhere in the vicinity, but I don't really know. But to go on the ice, or not on the ice, but I mean, it'd be great to go, you know, hang out on the ice, but on the glass and watch hockey up close. Yeah, I'll buy that and not have to spend, you know, $400 or $800 to do so. That's a big thing. That's why I'm like, yeah, let's get some women's hockey, the, what is it, PWHL or whatever it is. It's, or just, you know, some bigger, like, minor league teams that would be great to play in nearby. So I could go, you know, just see it up close and personal. As, I'm ready for some hockey. Fuck, I wish there was a minor league team here in Washington, Missouri. That'd be great. Because then I wouldn't have to drive into St. Louis. That's kind of also one of the downsides of going to a Blues game, is that I do have to drive into St. Louis. I mean, I can go drive up to the Metrolink, like the Shrewsbury location or something, and then ride the Metro there, but that's adding a lot of like time to it, especially if they're last few times I rode the Metro, they were doing construction in some areas and had major delays. So you're adding, you know, like an extra like 40 minutes a lot of times to traveling to the Enterprise Center, which is just kind of the bummer. Just the drive up there and then getting parking. That's fun, you know. But I do use the Park Wiz app now that I can find parking, find all the nearest parking lots, see how much they charge, see if, of course, there's a security attendant there at the lot and what have you, see what all the amenities, I guess, are, which is awfully handy. It's been too long. It's been too long since I've been to a game. I went to, six or seven games last year. I don't even know. I'd have to really go. It was six or seven games. And I've yet to go to one this season. It's a damn shame. Definitely need to be out there amongst the people. And I feel like maybe that's what the Blues are missing right now, is that I haven't been to a game yet, and they haven't gotten me juiced up, and I haven't helped juice them up. You know what I'm saying? Not with steroids or cum. I just mean energy. We'll go with that, right? So hopefully that, you know, either happens this weekend or next weekend. We'll see what happens. Maybe I'll do both if I can find some like cheap seats. Just some good deals. Which I guess I'll have two options next week as far as Friday and Saturday are concerned. And so if I can find a deal, maybe that'll be easier. I don't know who they're playing next weekend. I'm pretty certain that shit's at home. So that's a plus. That's where the big thing is. The Philadelphia Flyers on Friday. It's from 7 to 9. Both games start at 7. And then Vegas Golden Knights on the following Saturday. It'd be kind of cool to see the Knights. Pietrangelo. Alex Pietrangelo, of course, the Blues former captain, that was the captain of our Stanley Cup team, went to Vegas and what, won one cup there as well? So one or two? Either way, it's would have been great to, I guess, see. I mean, I don't know that I don't really want to see him in a Vegas Knights jersey. that's my cat. I do love Braden Schenn though. You know, he's our captain now, and it's been great. You know, through the years, seeing I guess the former Blue Notes going on and seeing them like win a cup with another team. It was, you know, fantastic to see Brett Hull actually be able to win a cup when he went to Dallas. Not as exciting as when, you know, it was not as exciting when he went to Detroit, as the Blues of the 90s and 80s like had major possibly their biggest rivalry at that point. You know, of course there was still a Chicago rivalry, but at the time the Blues were in the same division as the Red Wings, where they are currently not anymore. But the fights that happened between the Red Wings and the St. Louis Blues in those 90s era stuff was, I mean, shit of legends. And to see Brett Hull then go on to become a Red Wing, that was kind of hurtful. That was a little rough. But they did have, of course, when they were winning championships there in Detroit, they did have another big former Blue Note. They had Scotty Bowman as a head coach, who was the original Blues head coach for the first two. Or did he finish like a third season? Like, I know he's there for the first two seasons, which the Blues did go to the Cup Finals. They lost both years to Boston. Of course, they had Bobby Orr at the time. And a little hard to beat Bobby Orr. He was, you know, quite the legend. There's that like famous picture of him like flying through the air during that, was it the first or second year that they lost to Boston? Which was fitting, of course, when the Blues finally did win the Cup for the first time, that they did beat the Boston Bruins. Not with Bobby Orr on the team, though. It was, you know, 2019 as opposed to 1967. There was a few years in between there. 67 and 68, I guess, is when they played the Bruins back-to-back. But of course, Scotty Bowman was the coach of the Blues at that point. And he would go on after getting canned from the Blues. I think he's got the most Stanley Cup wins of any coach in the NHL. He may have lost that title, but I think that's still accurate. Florida seems like, you know, the Panthers seems like they're trying to kind of fuck with that a little bit. They just need to, like, slow their fucking roll, man. Slow their fucking roll. Two back-to-back wins. That's enough. You don't need to keep doing that. You don't need to keep doing that. Although, you know, they've got at least they got one of the Tkachuk brothers, who, of course, is from St. Louis. So there's, you know, his father, Keith Tkachuk, you know, played on the Blues for a while. So there is some St. Louis legend status going on there. But, you know, I think I'm pretty much done here. I don't remember the other topics that I was going to talk about. So this is always by the point in time where it's like the brain just doesn't want to work with me, especially since, again, yeah, I didn't do this on a day I'm not working. And I did get my hair cut beforehand, too. And it was a small can of Red Bull. I had the 8-ouncer. And I had that right before I went and got my hair cut. So, and then I ate after that. So it wasn't like I did this right after consuming the caffeine. Which is a shame because I feel like I'd be way more alert. But yeah, that's all I've got. So as always, that is a kid in a wheelchair, not a trash can.